beautiful country sound means it's noon on Thursday. And to Dennis and Frito, that means a wonderful visit from ESPN Big Shot, Ed Werder. Let's welcome Ed to the show. Hi, Ed.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
Oh, man. Couldn't be better.
Super incredible.
Couldn't be better if I cheated. Let me,
And I'm sure you have. Go ahead.
Never cheated. I'm going to jump right in with you because it's been hot all week. You've been tweeting about it. We've all been tweeting about it. Who has been hurt the most, Ed, if you believe any of them have been hurt, in this Hardy controversy that has flared up again? A, Greg Hardy, B, Jerry Jones, or C, Jason Garrett?
I think I will go with C. Simply because I think Greg Hardy has been enabled by Jerry Jones to the point that it has been detrimental to Jason Garrett and how he's perceived as the head coach, probably more by the public than in the locker room, which is good for him. I don't know this for certain, but I would guess based on what Jason Garrett has said about the kinds of players he wants on his team, that had this decision been left entirely to him, he would not have ever signed Greg Hardy. And certainly given that he can't be comfortable sitting over there having to make announcements about private conversations he's had to have about etiquette with Greg Hardy and what's appropriate and what's not and what the team stands for and what it doesn't. So I think for all of those reasons, Jason Garrett has suffered the consequences more than the other two possibilities.
And you just said that it probably more publicly than within the locker room, and I understand that. But do you think that it has impacted his perception in the locker room?
I think it would only be human nature for people to see how their bosses react to certain situations that might require discipline. Given the rules they know are in place, and see whether the coach is enforcing those or isn't enforcing those, or whether he's enforcing them selectively, I think, as most head coaches do. But I mean, Jason Garrett has chosen this path. I think he, like I said on TV yesterday, I have no doubt that he wants people who represent the right values. He also wants great football players. It's often hard to find both of those things in the same person. And I'm sure that he protests and gives his point of view and votes his conscience in private with Jerry Jones. The one thing we've never seen him do is take that next step and put himself in a contradictory position publicly with Jerry Jones, the owner and general manager of the team for which he works.
And having said all that, my next question on this, with Hardy refusing to let it go and continuing to be what he believes to be a star on Twitter, how much easier do you think that has made it for Jerry Jones to sign him long term and for a lot less money than he would have?
Well, I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion after the season. Right now, my sense is that the thing Jerry Jones cares the very most about is performance on the field above and maybe to the exclusion of all else. And so that potentially puts Greg Hardy in a very favorable position in terms of leverage, because Jerry knows he never should have had access to a player this good, plays this position, is a young player still, and that the only reason he does is because Carolina cut him because they wouldn't tolerate what Jerry Jones will. Now, I say that Carolina didn't tolerate it, when I know that Ron Rivera, the head coach, did want him back. It was an ownership decision that forced Greg Hardy out of Carolina. So I think Jerry Jones wants to keep him. I think Jerry Jones probably fears putting him on the open market and might ultimately end up bidding against himself to keep him. But certainly all of these things that have happened have lessened whatever minimal interest there might have been in Greg Hardy around the league. I talked to a GM yesterday about Greg Hardy, and he said, "I hate Greg Hardy. I wouldn't want him on my football team, no matter how great he might be. I don't want a bleep like that reflecting on me as a general manager And what value are they getting? They're 2-6. So I think that that speaks to kind of the perception generally that there is around the NFL. But, of course, it only takes one other team to be interested in Greg Hardy for the Cowboys to potentially lose him or wind up having to spend more than they might if they do it before he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
And what a bad move that would be, if we're looking back on it, if the Cowboys paid Greg Hardy for a bunch of games that ended up being meaningless games, and then he leaves at the end of the year anyway.
Well, I think if I'm another team outside Valley Ranch and I see how Hardy's played, I guess you could make the argument that I'm less interested now than I was before, even though the Cowboys took the big PR hit for everybody. Like, if he goes somewhere else now, the PR hit is not going to be as bad as it was when the Cowboys signed him, not knowing how long he was going to be punished. And they, you know, put themselves out there as the team that was willing to risk everything for a guy who at the time had not been found not guilty of the allegations made against him. So they were the ones who took the brunt of the criticism when the victim photos came out, and the next team won't to the same extent. My sense just is there isn't going to be all that much interest in Greg Hardy. He's performed, he's made his presence known on the field, but he hasn't created some new, great, unbeatable defensive team here. In fact, I would argue that the hidden failure in the Cowboys season has really been the defense and not the backup quarterbacks as much as people perceive it to be.
Our Buffalo Wild Wings Cowboys insider Ed Werder joins us every Thursday at noon. And speaking of that backup quarterback, Ed, Jeremy Mincy cleared something up for us this week when he announced that Romo is not Jesus. If he comes back next week and goes 6-1 or 7-0, could we make the case that he is?
Well, I was shocked to read that, you know, the Cowboys over time in the Landry era, certainly during the Jimmy Johnson era, and once under Bill Parcells / Wade Phillips, they've had great records. You know, they've won 12, 13 or more games in the regular season, and they've never gone 7-1 in the second half of the season. I find that astonishing. So, yeah, I guess if Tony Romo can pull that off, he may make Jeremy Mincy regret that he said that, because they have a quite a difficult schedule in the second half of the season too. And Romo is obviously going to have to play extremely well right from the start. And I think that's the first challenge. And then, does he have this ability to elevate everybody around him in the way it seems everybody has reverted to form in his absence?
Okay, NFL insider Ed Werder here, Buffalo Wild Wings, as you said, Steve. Question for you about the NFL related to the Cowboys. I'm going to ask you this question. Is there a better chance that there's going to be an undefeated NFL team or the Cowboys making the playoffs?
Well, I guess the percentage chances are that the Cowboys are more likely to make the playoffs, given that twice in the last 5 years in the NFC, a team has had a losing record and not only made the playoffs, hosted a game and won. The Seattle Seahawks did it in 2010. They were 7-9. Then they beat the defending Super Bowl champion Saints in the first round of the playoffs in Seattle. And then last year, the Carolina Panthers were 7-8-1, hosted a home playoff game, and beat the Arizona Cardinals. So I guess I will say it's more likely that the Cowboys will make the playoffs than it is one of the three remaining unbeaten teams will make it to the wire. I assume you mean going 19-0, winning the Super Bowl and everything, right?
Yes.
Exceeding the feat of the 1972 Miami Dolphins. No, I think the Cowboys are more likely to make the playoffs.
DJ, hit us some more Kenny Chesney here to send Ed out on his way.
In the style that I deserve.
Yeah, that's right. And just to cheer you up and make you feel happy.
Let's tap our toes together.
We appreciate it, Ed. We'll do it again next Thursday at noon. You have a good weekend covering that football, all right?
Very good, sirs. Enjoy one more Matt Castle appearance.
And then Romo's back. Thanks, Ed.
There
he goes. Only time we play Kenny Chesney here. Maybe that's our bad.
Yes, I don't know. That's our bad. That's our problem.
Hey, Mavs fans had a ball last night, didn't you? Didn't you just have a ball last night? The D word got his. next with Dennis and Frito.